All right, we're in Parak Yud Aleph in Hilchos Shabbos as we're working our way through the Melachas. And if I remember correctly here, we're going to hit two major halachas. One is going to be Shochet, which doesn't just mean halachic shita, and the other one's going to be Kosev. So let's start with Shochet. So halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, HaShochet Chayev, right? So someone who does shita on Shabbos is Chayev. Now, below shochet bilvad, because the term shchita has a halachic connotation, rather, elakol notal neshama, le'echan mikol minei chaya b'hem of ofed dog, v'sheretz, bain, one second, there you go, bain, b'shchita, bain menechira, b'haka, chayav. So it doesn't mean the halachic maisa of shchita, but rather, killing of any animal, and doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. Well, we'll get to that soon, but any kind of animal at this point, you're chayav, whether you shecht it, or you stab it, or you beat it to death, stamp on it, whatever it might be, all these things you're chayav on. Okay, hachonek es achai ach yamus, harizah tolda shochet. Now, it's interesting. So strangling, choking an animal, or something alive, until it dies, is actually a tolda of shochet. And lefikach im ha'elet dog misafel shamayim, v'nicho ad shemeis chay mishum chonek. So if you took the goldfish out of the bowl and you held it up there until it died, you'd be over the tolda of chonek. V'lo od, ach yamus, right? Ela kevan sheyavish bo kisela bin snapirov, chayev sheod eno yachol l'chayos. So taking this with somewhat of a grain of salt, it's enough even if I go ahead and take, let's say, a fish out of water, and enough of the, about a sela length of the fish dries up, okay, if its fins dries up, that's considered chonek because from that point on, the animal will not be able to live. So you've done something to the animal that essentially defines it as being dead. Hoshet yado lema'e habehema v'daldal ubar shevema'eha chayev. Another interesting permutation, if you went ahead and you were walking around your farm and you saw the pregnant animal on your farm and you decided to go ahead and grab the, if I go ahead and I'm walking around my farm and I see a pregnant animal and I decide to go inside the animal and take out the fetus, I would also be chayv in that situation as well. So these are all examples of basically killing animals. Okay. Now, again, as we see with all the malachas, now comes further explanations and caveats. Ramasim, Shehein, Piryon, Viravin, Mizachor, Nekeva. Okay, so it happens to be this halacha here is well known not because of the halachic aspect but because of the scientific aspect, which it has to do with what they believed was the origin of certain insects or certain bugs. So I'm sure most people know that there's a whole issue of what's called spontaneous generation, or the idea that animals come from out of nowhere, or from things that we know today, cannot be the case. So just as an example, there was a belief that lice came from sweat, just as an example. So we're going to hit a little bit of incorrect science. I'm not going to get into why there should still be halachic ramifications today of decisions made based on science that clearly was incorrect at the time. That's for a different format. So Ramasim Shehein, Piryon, Parin, Viravin, Mizachor, Nekeva. Okay, so any animal that is conceived through normal relations, oh, Nehevin, Mina, Afar, okay, or they come from the ground, okay, from the dust itself. Kamoa, Parushin, Ahore, Gosan, Chayev, Karag, Behem, Vachaya. So whether the animal is one that comes about through normal fertilization or comes from the ground, okay, like again, let's say like lice. Note that, like the Makkah of Kinim, there's a good reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, strikes the afar. So in those cases, if you kill the animal, it's no different than killing a regular animal. Aval ramasim shehiyosan mina glalim umina peros shehavishu uchiyotza behen. Okay, but let's say you have animals which basically they come about from, let's say, fecal matter or from dried out fruits. Right, so these kind of worms that come about, like maggots that come from dead things or from dried out fruits, in those situations, you'd be pater of al usr if you went ahead and killed those animals. On that note, an halacha gimel, hamefala kela b'shabbos, molel esakinim v'zorkam. So what does a person do? A person, again, not so much today, but a person would check their clothing to see if there was any lice on it, okay? And let's say someone did that on Shabbos, and as a result, when you're checking it, you're allowed to rub off any of the kinim, any of the lice that might be on there. And not only that, umutu laharog is a kinim Shabbos, and shehein minazeya. So it's permitted to kill these lice on Shabbos because they come from sweat, okay? So again, since that was the belief of the origin of kinim, that's why it's still been consecrated in halacha that it's permitted to go ahead and kill the lice on Shabbos. All right, halacha dalet, okay? Chaya v'remes shehein noshnein u'mamisin, okay? Vadai. So let's say you have an animal who, if it bites you, there's no question you're going to die. It's poisonous. Kagon zvot shebe mitzrayim, v'tzira shebenua, v'akrav shebehediv, v'nacha shebe'at Yisrael, v'kelav shota. Okay, so all these types of animals, b'chol makom mutar laharkam Shabbos kishiyiru. So as long as any of these animals who, if biting you, would cause you to die, so of course, in any of these situations, it is permitted to kill that animal on Shabbos if you're afraid of the animal. Ushar kol mazikin, okay? Now let's say there are things that can hurt a person, but don't necessarily kill you, okay? Ima yu ratzen acharav mutar laharkam. Okay, so if they're chasing after you, then it's permitted to kill it. But if the animal's chilling out or it's running away, then it's prohibited to kill the animal. So the idea is that if the animal biting you could kill you, then all bets are off. If the animal biting you would not kill you, but it's still mazikin, something that hurts a person, so it's situational. And based on the situation, we'll determine whether you can kill the animal or not. Vim darson lefituma b'shasi lucho v'hargan mutter. Now, if you happen to step on one of these animals while you're walking, okay, that's actually permitted. So you won't be over an isser if you don't have to check the ground every time you walk to make sure you're not killing an animal. Okay, so now what's some of the variations? So halacha hey hamafshet mina or kidei lasos kameya chayev. All right, so after you would kill an animal, what's the next thing you would do? You'd be mafshit to or. You would peel off the outer skin. So if someone peels off the outer skin of or the hide of the animal to make an amulet, you're chayev. V'cheinam ave mina or, k'nei lasos k'miya chayev. So we saw ibud when we did tefillin and other areas of safras. So if a person goes ahead and processes the hide to make it ready for writing, okay? And in this case, it wants to make a kameh out of it, an amulet, yibi chayev. Ve'chad ha-ma'aved, ve'chad ha-moleach, and it wouldn't matter if it's ibud or if it's melicha. Why? Shemelicha min ibud hi. Because melicha is something that actually prepares, is preparatory, as a method of processing of the or. Ve'en ibud ba'ochlin, right? And there's no idea of ibud when it comes to foods. Ve'chein ha-mochek min ha-or, k'dei lasos kameh ha-chayev. So too, if a person went ahead and smoothed out the hide in order to go ahead and make an amulet, you're chayiv as well. Ve'ezu mochek, so what does that mean? Zeh ha-mavir se'ar o'at semer me'al ha'or achar misa achi yachlek mipnei ha'or. So mochek here refers to, not the same mochek as by Kosev, but it means what a person does is you remove the hair that's basically on the outside of the hide after the animal's dead, until the hide becomes very, very smooth. So that would be usher to do on Shabbos as well. Okay, halacha vav. Hamefarek duchs tustus, which we also saw by ink, right? Me'al haklaf. If you recall, in Safras, there were different layers to the hide. And so if you recall, there's gvil, and then gvil's comprised of cloth and duchs tustus. So if a person split the duchs tustus me'al haklaf, Arizi told us mashiv v'chayiv, so that would also be considered a type of hafshata. Hadore sala or baraglo achi iskasha. Okay, so if a person steps on the hide until it gets firm, or merchacho biyado umoshlo mashvo so kederach sharatzon and osin. Arizi told us ma'aved v'chayiv. So the other thing is that if you soften the hide with your hands, which is what the expert leather people do, that's also considered a tolda ma'aved in your chayiv. Hamorit notza mina ha'avira, hareza toldas mochek b'chayiv. So let's say you went ahead and plucked a wing from a, what do you call it, from an animal, from a, well, an exactly a bird. That's a told of mochek, actually, and you'd be chayv in that case. V'chein ha'min mareach, retia, kol shehu, o shava, o zefes, o chiyotzev, ha'min dvarim, ha'mis marachin, achi yachlik b'neim, chay mishu mochek. Now, mimareach is an important halacha also. Mimareach is smearing. So if a person smears things like wax or any one of these other things until a surface becomes smooth as a result, you'd also be chayev in mochek. So mimareach is a tolda of mochek. V'chein ha'shaf b'yado ala or ha'masuach ben amudim chayev mishu mochek. So too, if you rub, let's say you have a piece of leather that's suspended between two pillars, and you go ahead and rub the, what do you call it, rub the hide down to make it smooth, that's also considered, what do you call it, mochik. All right, but of course the one that's most known is mimareach. That has something that has a lot of applicability today. Okay, lach hazayim. Okay, again, along the same vein, ha-mechasech min or k'dei lasos k'mei achayim. So what does the person do here? So you cut out, you cut away a piece of the hide in order to go ahead and make the amulet. Your chayev v'hu sheiskavin the midas orcho midas rochbo v'yachtoch b'kavana shehi melacha. So you're only chayev by mechaseich in the case of the or if you have in mind the actual amount you're going to be cutting for the amulet. Okay, so in that situation, that's when you're chayev. Aval im chasach derech hefsed, because remember, usually cutting something is destructive. If I cut it up in a way that it was destructive to the thing, it's a loss. Obelo kavana l'midaso. Right, or I didn't have in mind exactly how much I was going to cut. Ella kemisasek or kemisachek hareza pater. So that's the situation where it's pater aval aser, where a person did was mechasek, but you didn't have him either he did it in a destructive way, or he didn't have in mind exactly how much he was going to cut off. Hakotem esa kanaf. Okay, hareza told us mechasek v'chayev. So what's that? If I trim down the wing from a bird, that's also told on mechasek and mechayev. V'chein ha-megared roshe kalusna shel erez chayev mishum mechasech. So what's that? So if I go ahead and I plane a beam of wood, okay, which is going to get to explain in a second. If I plane a beam of wood, I'm also mechasech, I'm also over the isra mechasech as well. V'chein kol chaticha sheyachto charesh eitz min ha-eitzim or charesh matechas min ha-matachos chayev mishum mechasech. So that's a general rule. Anytime there's cutting of wood or metal, all these situations are considered mechasech. Hanotel kisim shel eitz milafana v'katmo lachzos bo shinov o liftoch bo sadeles chayev. So too, if a person takes a small piece of wood, and what do? You trim it down, you cut it down to make, for instance, a toothpick. Lachzos bo shinov is a toothpick. Or to, let's say, make like a, I won't call it a door stopper, but something to help open up a door, you'd also be chayev of mechasech there as well. Okay, halacha ches, on that note, kol davar shehu roi l'machal behema. Okay, so anything that an animal would eat, kagon teven, v'asavim lachim, v'hutzin, v'chiyotze behen, mutter laktam osam Shabbos, v'yishayim behen tikun kelim. So anything that an animal would eat on Shabbos, you're allowed to go ahead and, and trim, okay, because you're not going to make a kli out of this stuff. Okay, these things don't lend themselves to tikkun kelim. Mutter laktom atzei besamim lahariach behen. Not only that, you're allowed to actually break apart, let's say incense sticks, but like, you know, natural incense sticks. Let's say a nice smelling branch, you would be allowed to break it to smell it. The afapi shein kashim v'yavashin, even if they're very hard and dry, nonetheless, you would be allowed to do that on Shabbos. Umfaseach behen kol mashi yirtze bein shepasach etz gadol bein shepasach etz katan. And you can also, what's called, is strip off bark. You're allowed to strip off bark on Shabbos, whether it's from a big tree or a small tree. So this would not be considered underneath the category of mechasech. Okay, so the rest of the parak now deals with kosef, as I mentioned in the beginning, which is a very important halacha. Halacha tes, ha-kosef shtei osios chayev. Oh, hold on. So ha-kosef shtei osios chayev. So that's always the important, kosev is always used as a great example of meleches machsheves, because you would think you're chayev and kosev once you write anything, right? So the answer is no, midoraisa. And not only that, you have to write two letters. We'll get a lot more into what these two, you know, what it means for two letters, but a person has to write two letters in order to be over the isser of kosev and Shabbos. Hamochek sov amanas lichto b'makom hamachak shtei osios chayv. Now the Rambam comes right out of the gate and tells us the destructive flip side, because mochek is obviously something that is destructive by nature, right? But as long as a person is mochek almanas lichtov, right? So what would a person do on, let's say, on a piece of paper? He sees the letters A and B, or whatever, A, B, and what he does is they're already there, he gets rid of them to write over that makom, right? That's when you're chayiv and mochek. Okay, so we'll get to that also. Hakosev os achas gedola kishtayim pater. If a person wrote a letter in a manner that was big enough, right, that it looked like it's the size of two ordinary letters, you're pater. Machak os achas gedola v'yesh mekomo kedei lechtov shtayim chayiv. Now that's interesting. If a person erases this a very large letter, and in erasing it now, he could write two regular sized letters, then you'd be chayv. So again, if I wrote one letter that's as the size of two, I'm pater. But if I erased a large letter that was the size of two, right, and I created a makom to be able to write two letters, I will be chayv and mochik in that case. Kasav os achas v'hishlan ba'as ha-sefer chayv. If you recall from yesterday mentioning makeh v'patish, there's always a famous example that a person, what do you do here? You wrote one letter, okay? So normally you would think you're not chayiv and kosev, but that letter was the last letter of the book. So now the book is complete, okay? So that's not makeh v'patish, because remember, makeh v'patish is gemar, the malach itself. Rather, this is the sefer is finished, and in this case, it would be chayiv in kosev. Hakosev almanas kalkela or chayiv. That's also important. So if a person went ahead and he writes something on, let's say, cloth, okay, his kavana is to go ahead and ruin the cloth. He's actually still chayiv there. Why? Shein chiyuvo al makom aksav, elo al haksav. Because the iser isn't on the thing he's writing on, but rather the maisa of ksiva itself. So in that case, even if it's al manas lekalkel, he's still chayiv. Ava hamochek al manas lekalkel pater, obviously, right? Because that is Mikalkel. So if a person erased for the intention of being destructive, that's pater. Nafla dio al gabe sefer machakosa. Okay, let's say ink fell on a sefer and he erased it. Okay, or nafla shaiva al gabe apinkas machakosa. Or let's say wax fell on like a writing tablet and he erased it. Imyesh bimkoma kedei lichtov sheosios chayim. As long as in either case there's enough to write two letters, you're chayiv in mochek. Okay, halacha yud, also a very famous halacha. Hakosev os kfula pamayim, right? V'hu shem echad. So let's say a person writes the same letter twice, okay, and it's one name. So for example, kamo dud or tuf tuf gug rar sus chech, okay, chayiv. In all those situations, even though it's the same letter twice, you're producing a word by doing that, and you're chayiv in that situation. Hakosev v'kolksav. That's also an important thing to note too, that you are chayev and kosev, it's not limited to Hebrew. If you write in any language, in any type of script, okay, so it doesn't matter what kind of script you're using, what language you're using, even if it's two marks. So for instance, a language where let's say like Mandarin, right, which doesn't have letters like we have, you'd be chayev there. You would be chayev kosev, even though we wouldn't be able to read it as letters, since that's the letters of the language. So again, if you're the limitation, there's no limitation of kosev to whatever language you're involved with. Okay, so halachid aleph. Now comes a lot of the more specific derivations. Hakosev os acha samach lichtav oksav okosav agabe ksav. Excuse me, oksav agabe ksav. Vamiskavin lichtov ches v'kosav shnei zayin. Okay, so what's that? So let's say I wrote one letter next to a letter that was already on a piece of paper, or I wrote on top of writing that was already there, or I had the kavana to write the letter ches and ended up writing two zions, okay, or like any other letter, or hakosev os achatz ba'aretz ve'os achatz bekora, right, she'arei ein negin ze'im ze'. Or for example, let's say I wrote one letter on my floor and another letter on my ceiling, where they're not, they're not able to be read together. Or for example, if I wrote two letters on two different pages from my writing, from my tablet, and again, they're not read together, in all those situations, it's pater. Kaslam b'shnei kosle zavis o b'shnei dape pinkas behein negin ze im ze chayev. But let's say I wrote two letters in, let's say, two corners of my house, for example, or on two pages of the book, okay? And they could be read together somehow as a single word, as a single unit. In that situation, I would be chayev in kosef. Okay. Halacha yudbeis, lachach gvil uchiyotzebo. So if you recall, gvil is the thick parchment. The kasav adov os achas b'medina zu. Okay, so what did I do? I wrote on my gvil in the United States one letter. The halach b'osu hayom, and I hopped on a plane. The kasav os shnia b'medina acheres, and I wrote the second letter in Eretz Yisrael b'megila acheres on a different scroll of parchment. Chayev. Why? Shebizman shemekarvan negin zeim ze v'ena mechusaren maisa lekrivasa. Interesting idea. So since if I brought the two parchments together, I'd be able to read it, okay? That's why, and all that's lacking is me physically bringing the two scrolls together. That would be the reason why I'd be chayev in that situation for kosev. Halach yud gimel, hakosev os achas. So if I write one letter, go ahead, Ron. So in halach yud gimel, he says, hakosev os achas, afa pishakar mena teva shlema pater. So if you write one letter, okay, but that one letter is a word, okay, is a full word, you're still pater. Kigon, ketzav, kigon shekasav mem, okay? So let's say I write the letter mem. V'akol korin osam meiser. So normally mem is the letter used to indicate meiser. O shekasav makam minyan, right? Sherehu kamo shekasav arbaim or eza pater. Or for instance, I write the letter mem to signify that there are 40 people, I'd be pater, because again, I didn't write two letters. However, hamagia Os achas, the asa osa shtayim, okay, kigon shechalak gag haches v'nasa shnei zainin chayef. But let's say I was editing something, okay, and I ended up splitting one letter into two, okay. So for instance, I made a ches and I end up cutting it into two zayins. I would be chayef in that situation. V'chein kol chayotze bazeh, okay. Now where are things that are now, again, we're getting closer to the non-permanent ink part. Let's say a person who's a righty writes with his left hand. Ola achar yado biraglo bifiv umarfako pater. So if I use my elbow, my toes, any abnormal way of writing, I'm pater. Now of course, iter someone who's left-handed shekasa bimino shehi lo kismol kol adam pater. So too, if a lefty wrote with his right hand, he'd be pater as well. Vim kasa bismolo chayev. But if he wrote with his left hand, he'd be chayev. Someone who is ambidextrous is chayev no matter which hand he uses. Katan oches v'kumus, the gadol oches v'yadav v'kosev chayev. Also fun case. If a kid is holding the pen, okay, and then the adult comes along and moves the kid's hand to write things out, chayev. Gadol oches v'kumus, v'katan oches v'yadav v'kosev pater. But if the adult's holding the pen, and the katan holds the hand of the adult and writes, then, of course, the adult would be pater in that situation. Okay, so halacha tesvav. So this is where the Scrabble question will come up. Ena kosev chayev ad sheyichtov bedavar haroshim, the omein. So you're only chayev if you write with something that is lasting, okay? It's something that leaves a mark forever. Kagon diyo, v'shachar, v'sikra, v'kumus, v'kalkantus, uchiyotze behem. These are different kind of inks. So in all these situations, these kind of inks, you are chayev if you write with them because they last. The yichtov al davar shemiskayim aksav olav. That's also important. The other thing you require is that which you write on is also made to last. Meaning if it falls apart, it wouldn't work. Go on or uklath v'niyar v'etzadiyot v'hem. So to use something simple, pen and paper are both problems. Okay, use those as the paradigm. Aval kosev davar she'in rishuma ome, kigon mashkin me peros. But let's say I use fruit juice to write with, okay? Oh, shekosev bidyo chiyotzevo al ala yirakos. Or if I took a pen and wrote it on a piece of lettuce, val kol davar she'in ome, pater. So both those situations, it's pater aval asa. Eno chayv ach yichto bidavar omein al davar omein, v'chein eno mochi chayv ach yimcho ksav omein me'al davar omein. So those are the ingredients both for kosev and for mochek. It must be done on with something and permanent and on something permanent. Halacha. Now, and by the way, of course, the question by pencil is just because you could erase it with an eraser doesn't mean it's not permanent. Halachat zayin, a kosev al besaro, chayev. Now let's say you write on your skin, right? You're chayev also, neshehu or, okay? Afapi shechamimus besaro ma'averes haksav la'acharzman, harez edomo l'ksav shenivcha. So if I go ahead and if I write on my skin, I'm chayev, even though what I could say is that what can happen? That my, the heat of my skin will eventually get rid of the fat which I wrote on there. But let's say I went ahead and engraved the form of the letter in my skin, like in the skin itself, then I'll be pater. Hakorea la'or, kitabnis ksav chayev mishum kosev. So let's say I went ahead and I cut out the form of the tzura, the form of a letter, on, let's say, a klaf. Okay, I'm chayev by kosev for that. Haroshim ala or ketav neksav pater. Same too. If I go ahead and indent or engrave into the hide the form of the letters, then I'd be pater. So if I tear into the or, if I cut the letters into the or, I'm chayev. If I engrave into it, I'm pater. Hamavir dio agabe sikra chayev shtayim achas mishum kosev v'achas mishum mochek. So if you ever want to see a cool situation where it could be chayev both sides of the coin of the malacha, it's somebody who goes ahead and uses ink, okay, to trace over letters that were written in ink that fades away, okay? I'm chayev there both for kosev, because I'm now writing with ink, and mochek, because I'm getting rid of the thing that was written there before, okay? Hever dio agabe dio, v'sikra agabe sikra, v'sikra agabe dio, pater. But if I write ink over ink, okay, like I trace it over, or let's say ink that goes away over ink that goes away, et cetera, in all those situations, I'm pater as well. All right, so let's just finish this parak. Halacha Yudzayim. Okay, Roshim told us kosev hu, okay? So literally, Roshim here means not just engraving, but making all sorts of designs is considered a tolda of kosev as well. So it's important to understand that you don't, like I say, it's not, kosev is always presented as letters, but there are other situations where a person doesn't actually draw a letter that you can still be chayev and kosev. Let me just finish the halacharan. Ketsa haroshim, rishamim, mitzuros, bekosel, uveshar, uchiyotze behen, kederach, shasayaren, roshmim, hareze chayev, mishum kosev. So what do? I make designs on the wall with all sorts of colors, okay? Circles, shapes, etc. I be chayev and kosev. And if I go ahead and erase the shape, let's say I made on the wall, for the purpose of tikkun, that's told of mochek as well. Okay. So if a person draws, if you recall from Safras, a line underneath, he scribes a line, let's say in the parchment, in order to write letters underneath the sirtut, he be chayiv as well, because again, that's like a heksher for the thing, for a kosev. Charshei ha'etzim, shema'avirin chut shel sikra al gabe akora, kedei sheyinsor b'shaveh, harei ze toldos misarte. Okay, so what's that case? So let's say what would happen is that carpenters would go ahead and draw these lines on wood, okay, in order them to be able to saw the wood in an even manner. So it's a similar example of sirtut, you're chayiv there as well. V'chein ha'gavalim she'osim kim bavanim, k'dei she'yifatzal evan b'shaveh. So too, stonemasons would do the same thing when it came to construction. They draw lines to make sure things are even. V'echad ha'misarteh p'tzevah, o'belot tzevah reze chayiv. So when it comes to being misarteh, you don't have to actually use the color. It doesn't matter what color you use, you're chayiv no matter what.